Welcome. This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you to the 150th episode of The New World Next Week. Of course, the long-running video series between myself and James Corbett, giving you some of the most important news in alternative media and open source intelligence since, what, December 2009, James? It goes back a ways.
Maybe November.
Regardless of when it starts, man, like I always say, I appreciate doing these shows with you, and I hope the folks out there gain, you know, half as much knowledge about things as we do doing this. I think that's what we've always said, being involved in alternative media. It's you know, it's a learning process for me, just as it is hopefully for anyone and everyone else out there. So, for everyone out there, this is going to be no great fanfare for 150th episode, no ticker tape parade or clip shows. We're just going to give you another solid episode of New World Next Week, and we will begin with our friends at blacklistednews.com and return to Cyprus, who's about to sell 400 million euros worth of gold, about 75% of its holdings, to finance part of its bailout, and this comes via Zero Hedge. Curious why every bank and their grandma, and even most recently Goldman Sachs today, April 10th, 2013, has been lining up to push the price of gold as low as possible? Here's why. Cyprus to sell 400 million euros worth of gold reserves to finance part of its bailout. Congratulations, Cypriots. You are now handing over your gold for the one-time unbeatable opportunity to remain a vassal state to the Eurozone. Hey, but at least you have your euros left. The good news is Cyprus will have at least another 4 or so tons after selling the 10 tons demanded now before the Troika kindly requests that Cypriot citizens sell a kidney or two to pay for the ongoing deposit outflow from its insolvent banks and indirectly the endless bailout of the euro. James will also include the original Reuters piece for this story, and I find it interesting, James, that this week is also the 80th anniversary of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Executive Order 6102 banning gold ownership here in the States. So again, we talk about stories internationally to show folks what may happen here or what may happen there. James?
Yeah, I noticed that 80th anniversary myself this week and thought that was pretty ironic with the timing of all of this. But yes, interesting story, isn't it? And it just once again goes to show that there is there have been major attempts at suppression on the gold market in recent months, and it certainly does seem to be adding up to this central bank buying spree that I think we're going to see after this selling spree from Cyprus. And it's not going to take an Einstein to figure out where this gold is going. It's going to go to the same central banks that have been buying at a record pace in the past few years. And I think last year was something like the most amount of central bank gold reserve buying since the 1960s, I believe it was. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's certainly been a frantic buying spree. And I think China and Russia, at any rate, will be willing participants in the buying of this gold. So again, people like Kyle Bass and others have come out recently talking about how they're mystified by how gold is just not going up the way that it seems like it should be. But I think we shouldn't be mystified by that. We shouldn't realize this is just part of the manipulations that are going on right now. And it's related to events like these, where Cyprus is now being held at gunpoint to get rid of their gold holdings. So the Cypriots are just keep getting it, getting kicks and punches and sticks in the eye, and it's just really deteriorating there quickly. So a very interesting development, and I'm glad you picked up on this.
Well, and I feel like it's just another sort of replay of what we tracked last year in Iceland. So, James, just one last note on the FDR gold banning decree. It's also interesting to note it was only overturned another 40 years later by FBI informant and Warren Commission member President Gerald Ford. One other related note I'll add, James, and I think it's something that seems to be kind of bubbling under the surface, is this alleged inevitable crash of Bitcoin. But we'll leave that there for the moment. However, I think that leads into our second story quite well, that we take from the new IntelliHub.com, the artist formerly known as the Intel Hub. Israeli hackers and Anonymous continue their cyber strife. This comes via Russia Today. After OpIsrael.com was defaced by Israeli hackers, the group Anonymous claimed on Twitter to have nothing to do with the site. which they say was created by the Israeli hackers themselves. Israeli hackers allegedly broke into the website opisrael.com, named for Anonymous's extensive anti-Israeli operation, which was allegedly being used to coordinate cyber attacks on Israeli sites. The hackers posted pro-Israel facts and videos on the website's homepage. The Anonymous homepage was revamped by a hacker that calls himself EHIRS, according to the Jerusalem Post. He reportedly hacked the same site for a second time last Saturday night with a cartoon of a computer mouse with the Anonymous mask, which was trapped in a mouse trap built from an Israeli flag. After the reports of the latest hack emerged, Anonymous denied involvement with the site, tweeting that the Israelis simply created a website looking like the Anonymous site that got hacked. Also on Saturday, hackers operating under the name of Israeli Elite broke into websites in Pakistan and installed images of IDF soldiers and the Israeli flag. James, this is what Webster Tarpley coined as virtual flag terrorism, and at least I can't speak for anyone else out there, but it's personally why I'm never a part of any group. I'm not a member of Anonymous. I'm not a member of Occupy. I'm not a member of anything but the human race. James.
Well, doesn't this go back exactly to what we were talking about a few weeks ago when we were talking about Anonymous? Oh, sorry, that was on a different program. But I was talking about Anonymous, and I mentioned that Anonymous, what is Anonymous? It's absolutely anything that anyone that comes along and says they're Anonymous is Anonymous. And anyone, I mean, it's just one big grab bag of intel ops and intelligence agents and the like, and some real genuine hackers out there as well, I'm sure. But it, the point is that really, it's just an umbrella and just a name, just a label that can be applied to anyone. And in this case, I mean, isn't it so ironic? Now, Anonymous, whoever that is now claiming that this is actually a site that was created by Israel in order to be hacked in a type of false flag event. That, I mean, it's just so many layers of obfuscation here. Isn't this the exact point of these types of operations? I mean, what exactly is this going to prove anyway, even if this was some sort of genuine hacking raid on Israel? I mean, does anyone seriously think this is going to affect the government of Israel in any substantial way other than to bolster their claims that they're now being attacked by terrorists on the internet? It's just, I mean, it's just ludicrous in so many ways. But there you go. I don't really know what to say about this other than here we go again, and here's some more he said, she said, but this time in the realm of the cyberspace, where now it's just it's ops that may or may not have taken place on websites that may or may not have existed, that may or may not be intelligence operations in and of themselves, that may or may not have been created by Israel. So make of that what you will. For my part, I'm with you. I'm not a part of any group, and I'm not going to sign up to, you know, to become a member of any group that's just a big label for intelligence operations.
Isn't the this is off the top of my head, isn't the Mossad's motto something like "by way of deceit shalt thy wage war"? It's something like that.
It's exactly right, by deception. So yeah, here it is. This is how it plays out in the 21st century online world.
That's it. And I find a semi-related note. This was something in the news yesterday in the States that it kind of struck me, and I'll just throw this out there. Electronic Arts, the video game company, wins Worst Company in America poll again for the second time. I think showing when it beats out Bank of America, Ticketmaster, AT&T, I think proving yet again that the U.S. is run by Arrested Development boys who should put down their video games. But
well, yeah, I mean, there are companies that kill people and contribute to the poisoning of the planet and are basically destroying our planet as we speak, like Monsanto and others. But who cares about them? I mean, it's EA. They pissed me off with their video game releases.
Their Sims launch or their Madden football or, yeah, any of that. So, James, I'll have a word about Monsanto and health at the end of our third and final story this week. Is a story that, James, I looked back through the New World Next Week archives, and I thought we had covered this area before, and perhaps maybe we did, and it just didn't come up for me. Maybe you or someone else out there can help me out. But here it is. The first magic mushroom clinical trial hits a stumbling block. And we get this, believe it or not, from MSN. The world's first clinical trial designed to explore using a hallucinogen from magic mushrooms to treat people with depression has stalled because of British and European rules on the use of illegal drugs in research. David Nutt, NUTT, president of the British Neuroscience Association and professor of neuropsychopharmacology at the Imperial College in London, said he had been granted an ethical green light and funding for the trial, but regulations were blocking it. He said at a neuroscience conference in London this past Sunday, quote, "We live in a world of insanity in terms of regulating drugs." He's previously conducted small experiments on healthy volunteers and found that psilocybin, the psychedelic ingredient in magic mushrooms, has the potential to alleviate severe forms of depression in people who don't respond to other treatments. Following the early promising results, he was awarded $844,000 in a grant from the UK's Medical Research Council to conduct a full clinical trial in patients. But psilocybin is illegal in Britain, and under the United Nations 1971 Convention on Psychotropic Substances, it's classified as a Schedule 1 drug, one that has a high potential for abuse and no recognized medical use, just like that pesky Schedule 1 marijuana. So, James, the article goes on to kind of point out some of the ins and outs going on. However, I'll also include a naturalnews.com article that gets a little more into the dirt than MSN is ever going to go. As governments block research on using magic mushrooms to treat depression. The flashback, James, I was even kind of surprised how far this went back. July 1st, 2008, on MediaMonarchy.com, a flashback study shows spiritual effects of magic mushrooms, basically showing that people who use them in an experiment called the experience joyful and says it's helped them to this very day. So, James, again, it's the classic tale of things that naturally grow from the ground are banned, and we are given created chemicals from labs and companies, just like you mentioned, Monsanto and others. If you look back into their history, you will see they are like Donald Rumsfeld. They are like the devil. They are at every bad move. They are at every soul-crushing, human-destroying move over the last nearly century now, whether it's the Holocaust or DDT or aspartame or any of those things. You can run down the laundry list. They're there before and they're here again.
You know, I was under the impression that psilocybin had already been studied in depression trials. Am I completely off the mark with that, or am I just making that up?
We might have to dig into the archives and see maybe which studies are going on in America and maybe which studies are going on in the UK. And I don't have that in front of
right.
me.
Right, I see. Well, at any rate, it is rather ironic that it has been classified as a substance that has no medical use so that it can now no longer be used in medical trials to find out if it has any medical use. I mean, it's obviously a ridiculous situation, and it goes to the very heart of what these regulations are about, which is not to actually try to find the best cure for or the best way to help someone's depression. It's simply a way to try to keep these types of substances, if not off the market, at least suppressed, as suppressed as possible. And certainly, when and if there are beneficial effects found to these substances that have been outlawed for so long, I don't think there will be many people who will be surprised. As again, this is something that a lot of people have talked about in the past, but they're just crazy hippies. So at any rate, I mean, it is important that there are doctors that are actually doing these trials and are actually trying to get this through. And it's once again the question of the regulations from the people with the funny hats and the shiny badges who claim to have authority over what you put in your own body, who will come along and try to break this up. And I like to think that monopoly of violence and power cannot be maintained forever, and that we may be on the cusp of some sort of true overturning of that paradigm. But maybe I'm just eternally hopeful.
Well, James, here in closing, I'll just mention that, of course, the fluoride battle here in Portland is heating up yet again as the actual vote, thumbs up or thumbs down, is coming up next month. And I know you did just recently have Paul Connett back on your show to discuss the ongoing fluoride issue. There's actually a debate tonight in Portland, and my amazing girlfriend is actually going to the debate. She's also working on organizing a march against Monsanto here in Portland as well. So ultimately, and I got to admit, she's always right when it comes down to this, and you've helped me on this as well. What are you going to do about it? I can't stop crazed, inbred dictators from threatening to launch missiles. But we can choose what we put in our mouths, and that's what it comes down to, James. So more to come on the Fluoride Portland story very soon from this department.
Well, my hat's off to your girlfriend and everyone who is actually getting involved in that and trying to do something about it. An extremely important issue that will affect people in your local area, and I hope people across the United States and around the world are paying attention to things like this, because it truly is the type of thing that people can affect on their local level that can have a huge difference.
And I'd like to think that hopefully in a month or so, we can turn around and say, yes, we beat it, and turn around and maybe talk to other cities and towns and say, here's how we were able to do it. Here, hopefully it can help you. So, James, in closing, I just, again, want to thank you so much for 150 episodes of what has really been my favorite bit of work that's come out of Media Monarchy. So, thank you.
Well, it couldn't happen without you and the excellent stories you always bring to the table. So I'm always excited to have you here to talk about them. So here's to 150 more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much, man. Take care.
Take care.